Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, to show you what a fraud this pseudo-intellectual, fake Muslim scholar is. He puts the Greek text from the New Testament up on the screen, pretending that he knows Greek or that he knows anything about Greek. I'm going to prove to you that he knows absolutely nothing about Greek. He's a total fake and he's lying about what the text says. But anyway, he puts this up on the screen. He points to the word two, and he says, this is the Greek word for sun here. See, it's very clear. It's right there. It's clearly sun here.
Here, the word for sun is tu. There is a Koine word for daughter. It should have been Mary, the tigater, the daughter of Eli. But here it mentions tu, which is the sun, that this is Enosh, the tu of Seth, the tu of Adam, the tu of God. This is the word for son, not the word for daughter. It is not a reference to son-in-law.
When in reality, the word two means the. Okay, now stop and think about it, folks. When you're learning a foreign language, the word the is a pretty basic word that you learn pretty quick. So this shows that the guy knows literally zero about Greek, and he just makes a fool of himself by putting this on the screen and saying, see, it's right there, the word for son, the. And he's like, the two of Heli, the two of Matthan. He's basically saying the of Matthan, the of Heli, because he knows absolutely nothing about what he's talking about. So, you know, he can have as many books on the shelf behind him as he wants, but that's not scholarship, okay? And the points that I made in my previous video about the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 stand. And this guy is a fraud. And this is why people shouldn't go back to the Greek and talk about the Greek when they haven't even learned the language. Then don't talk about it. Hey, it's okay if you don't know Greek, but quit talking about things that you don't understand. Okay, the next thing is that he confuses me saying that the Bible was written by 40 authors over the course of 1600 years. He thinks I'm talking about the New Testament. He thinks I'm saying that the New Testament is written over 1600 years or by 40 authors.
Any Christian that's watching this, please see what your pastor, Christian pastor, is saying, that the Bible is not the work of just the disciples. It is not the work of Jesus. It's not work of the people that were around Jesus, but rather 39 authors over when? Were this written in the time of Jesus? No. He says over 1600 years in three different languages.
Absolutely not. There are only 27 books in the New Testament, and, you know, 13 or 14 of them are written by one person, the Apostle Paul. Obviously, when I said that there are approximately 40 authors and that it's written over 16 years, I'm talking about the Bible. That's why I said the Bible is written in three languages, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew with about 269 verses in Aramaic, and the New Testament is written 100% in Greek. 100% of the New Testament was written in the first century AD. So, no, the New Testament was only written over the course of a couple of decades. The New Testament was written. In his previous video, he acknowledged that the New Testament was written in the first century AD, that it was written between, like, around AD 50 and AD 100, okay? But then he claims that, oh, it was written by people who based it on the writings of people who based it on the writings of the people who based it on the writings. It wasn't any of the people that were actually there.
This book is based on some of the writings that are based on some of the writings of some of the writings of some of the writings that might have been the followers of Jesus.
Well, newsflash, if Jesus Christ died on the cross around 32 AD, then guess what? In 50 AD, there are going to be a lot of eyewitnesses still alive. There are even going to be a lot of eyewitnesses alive, even approaching 100 AD, okay? And so the New Testament was written, you know, starting around, you know, the 50s AD, 6th. It was probably written mostly, you know, closer to the 50 AD side of that. But, you know, between 50 and 100 AD is even what he's acknowledging, okay? So when I say the Bible's written over the course of 1600 years, that's because I'm talking about the fact that Moses wrote the Pentateuch around 1500 BC, okay? So from 1500 BC to 100 AD, that's your 1600 years. That just completely went over his head. Also, he brags again in this video about how Muhammad was illiterate.
That is correct. The only mistake he makes is he says the author is Muhammad, peace be upon him. But that is impossible. I'll tell you why. He couldn't read or write. He couldn't read or write.
Well, let me just explain something to you. Unless you have some kind of a mental disability, being illiterate makes you stupid and lazy. It's laziness and stupidity, okay? If we study the Old Testament and the New Testament, being literate's not optional. You know, God commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, search the scriptures. Jesus constantly asks the question, how readest thou? Have you not read? You err not knowing the scriptures. Scripture meaning that which was written. And so not being able to read and write makes you lazy, stupid, or both. Okay. Also, he's completely confused on the lengths of generations. He thinks that people being in different generations means that they lived at different times. That's total nonsense, okay? For example, you know, I have a child that's 1 year old and I have a child that's 19 years old, okay? Well, if my 19-year-old has children, they're going to be one generation removed from the children that I'm still having with my wife, okay? So I could have a kid when I'm 20, I could have a kid when I'm 50, and obviously women pass childbearing age, but there are men who are way older who have born children very late in life. For example, motorcycle legend Malcolm Smith, his dad was 82 years old when he was born. But realistically, all the time, you've got 40, 50, 60-year-olds having kids, 20-year-olds having kids. So you can't just put an arbitrary length on a generation. He puts a length 50 years, which is totally ridiculous because who actually thinks that an average generation is 50 years?
That you have 15 extra generations. Well, what was the age difference here? If we're seeing 15 more generations, you know, on average between 50, 70 to 100 years per generation. But let's take a very moderate number, 50 years. So 50 years times 15, that's 750 years that are missing in Matthew's genealogy.
The point is, you could have a 20-year long generation, you could have a 50-year long generation. And like I said, when we're dealing with patrilineal lines, you could have a 70-year generation. Okay, so sorry, but the number of generations does not determine an exact length of time. And you could have two people living at the same time, and one of them is 15 generations away versus 20 generations away. That's totally meaningless, okay? So he doesn't seem to understand how that works. You know, my cousin was actually older than one of his uncles, okay? Because that's how real life works with generations. But not only that, the genealogy in Matthew for sure does not include every name. It's only including important names. And so that's the reason why there's a dramatic difference between those two. But even if you included every name, you could have those other differences. He doesn't get that at all. And then he claims that I skipped some of the contradictions that he brought up. That's not true. I was responding to one video, and I responded to every single contradiction that he brought up in that video. And then he tries to debunk me saying that there are different ways of counting how many troops are in an army. Because I brought up the fact that, you know, are you counting reserves? What ages are you counting? Are you counting active duty? You know, are you counting just this branch or just the guys that are actually doing the fighting? Or are you counting actual, you know, support troops? And he claims that this is impossible because it's the same guy doing the counting in both cases. Joab counted in both scriptures.
So there are more than one way to count?
Yeah, there's more than one way to count. Look up how many troops are in the U.S. military, and you're going to get all different numbers depending on who's being counted. You know, what's included.
The same person is counting, Job. It's not a different person counting. 2 + 2 = 4. That's the only way to count it.
I guess the Muslims have come a long way since they invented algebra. This is the level of math that they're comfortable with right now.
Right?
Yeah, but does he really think that Joab just goes out and does this major census of the military and then just comes back with like a 3x5 card with like two numbers on it? Like he just comes back and just reports two totals? That's ridiculous. Obviously, when Joab reported to David, he gave him a breakdown that was way more complicated than what's in scripture. Like, okay, we got this many chariots, we got this many on horses, we got this many from this tribe, we got this many from this tribe, we got this many from this tribe. We know that that's how he counted. And that that you know, you don't just show up and just give one number when you do a census. Every census is going to contain a breakdown. So then when the author of Chronicles versus the author of 2 Samuel goes to give a total, they counted differently based on the raw data. But then he claims that I'm just making things up with no evidence, and he gives me this challenge.
Now, what's interesting is this pastor presents no textual evidence for anything. Nothing from the Bible itself. He just makes it up. I challenge him to bring us a text in the Bible, chapter and verse, that says, Michal, she was married to a different man, had 5 children, and then got married to David and had no children, and she still had the 5 children from her first marriage. No such verse. He's making it up.
Challenge accepted, okay? Here's the chapter and verse. 1 Samuel 25, verse 44. But Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Phaltai, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. So right there is the chapter and verse. 1 Samuel 25, 44, where David's wife was given to another man in marriage. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. This is where David wants to get her back after she's been with this other man for many, many years. 2 Samuel 3:13, and he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, go, return, and he returned. And the king, here's another scripture, because I want to fulfill all of his requirements here, right? He said, show me chapter and verse where she was married to a different man. Did we see that? Show me in chapter and verse where she, you know, again went back to David. Well, we've got a verse on that. Show me chapter and verse where she had 5 children and that she still had those 5 children from the other marriage. Okay. 2 Samuel 21:8. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Okay, so right there, we have in 2 Samuel 21:8, which is after the verse that he's asking, showing that she still had those 5 children all the way in 2 Samuel 21:8. She had those 5 children from another man. Okay. And he brings up that there's an alternate theory that basically she's actually adopted these children from another, you know, from her sister Mirab, who was actually the one who was with Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Okay, that's another theory. He brings up the fact that 2 Christian pastors have 2 different interpretations or 2 different theories. How can they both be right? They can't. Well, obviously they can't both be right. Obviously, that other Christian pastor who says that Luke chapter 3 is not Mary's genealogy is wrong. I can't be responsible for every Christian pastor who's wrong about something. Okay? But the bottom line is, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible does not have any meaningful, real contradictions. It might have apparent contradictions until you study and learn and understand what's being said and get it in context. But no, the Bible doesn't have any contradictions. And this Sheikh Uthman is a fraud who pretends to be a scholar. He pretends like he knows what he's talking about. He puts Greek on the screen to try to snow you, and he proves that he doesn't even know the word the. Because he literally puts the definite article on the screen too, which anyone who literally studied Greek for like an hour or 2 hours would know that that is one of the first words that you learn for the as a beginning Greek student. He puts that on the screen and thinks it's the word for son. And he's like, the two of Heli. Nope, wrong. You don't know anything about Greek. You don't have the truth, my friend, because you are worshiping a false god, and Muhammad is a false prophet. He's a pedophile who had sex with a 9-year-old because he's a pervert. And any of you Muslims at home watching this, if you defend him having sex with a 9-year-old, then you're a pervert too. Okay? So it's just that simple. And so Don't be deceived by this lying, false teacher, pseudo-intellectual who pretends to know Greek. He pretends to know the Bible. He pretends to know these things. He actually doesn't know anything about it, as I've proven. God bless you. Have a great day.